Our first guest is one of my heroes, Chris Plasek from the Daily Herald.
Dave, you're one of my heroes.
I was telling you in the green room, now I'm going to start with this. I was going to back into it. You're here to talk about the McDonald's stories you're doing, but you remind me of me at age 30. I mean, I was really driven. I mean, you had a tell us about your career in media. I mean, you started, had a family newspaper at the age of 12. This is something you always wanted to do, was journalism, right?
Yeah, and actually, the last time I was in the studio here, Rick Hogan was interviewing me in grade school, talking about my family newspaper.
You had a family newspaper that was called what?
The Plasek Press.
Yeah,
And now I've reached the heights of the Daily Herald in Arlington Heights. Writing about McDonald's, which I know we're going to talk about. But yeah, I've always had an interest in journalism. And I know, you know, that the industry is struggling. And, you know, you saw it, you know, a long career. But no matter if there's newspapers or online or whatever, there's still a need for that. I mean, I think we see it today more now than ever. There's still that thirst for real good journalism. And so it's always a career I wanted to do and love doing it.
What was the Plasek Press like? I mean, what was it, on a piece of notebook paper?
Or how did you Microsoft you give it? Word.
It was? Okay, yeah. See, that's how old I am. So it's Microsoft. And who got it? Who were your readers?
Well, basically the family. And I think I always sent a copy to Rick, and that's why he
You did
me
send
on
one
the
to Kogan?
Show. Yeah, because he knew my dad from high school. So he was.
And what high school was that?
Latin.
Okay.
Yeah, right. He was, you know, graduating class of, I don't know, they had maybe 30 people there, so you knew everybody. So my dad and Rick played, you know, basketball, baseball, football. So, yeah.
And what type of stuff did you cover in the family newspaper?
Everything. Birthdays, births, deaths.
Death?
Yeah. I mean, it's a microcosm of, it was intended to be what a real newspaper is about. You cover everything. It's a reflection of the community.
I just actually had dinner around Christmas time with my old journalism teacher from Naperville, and we always talk. She thought it was, I was fortunate because I knew at that age, I was editing my school paper like when I was a junior, that I was focused. I kind of knew I wanted to do journalism at a very young age. Same thing with you?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it was probably third grade. I was actually cleaning out stuff out of my mom's basement last week and found all this old stuff that I would write essays in third grade about. You know, people I most admired was like Ron Majors, you know, I watching the news and I just always, it sparked at that young age. And then, you know, went to Marquette for journalism. Right. And you know, you think about the kids that go to J school these days, a lot of them go into any kind of communication field, PR. It's not like a lot of those kids are going and working for newspapers, but, you know, it's a career that I pursued and really like it because, you know, you tell the stories of the community. You tell people what's going on, and it's always an interest that I had.
And so how'd you get to the Daily Herald?
So I was an intern there in college, and then I was freelancing for them right after I graduated, and then they brought me on full-time. I think my second night there was an election night, and if you've ever worked an election night at a newspaper, it's crazy around there, you know, because, you know, you don't want to have one of those Dewey defeats Truman things, and it's just, it's what a real newsroom is, and so you're thrown into the fire right away, and I can't believe it's been almost like 8 years there.
You've been there 8 years.
Yeah.
So how'd you get on the McDonald's beat? That's kind of your thing.
So when they moved me from the DuPage office to the Northwest Suburban office, the first beat they gave me was Des Plaines. And so for the past couple years, there's been rumors of the McDonald's Museum there, which is Ray Kroc's original restaurant. It wasn't the first McDonald's, right, but it was his first franchise location.
I saw the movie, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't last very long, but I'm glad I saw it. I have not read the book, but I did see the movie. So go ahead.
Yeah.
First one was in San Bernardino.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so from that movie, the founder, Kroc, made a deal with the McDonald brothers to franchise their operation. And so they went global with it, but that was Kroc's first location. And so there were, you know, rumors for the past couple of years because that museum, they built this replica museum on 400 Lee Street, that they thought, you know, the flooding is just terrible there, we're going to knock it down. So that rumor had been out there. And then I think it probably was this most recent flood where they said, all right, that's enough.
I in my notes, maybe just reading your stuff, tours until 2008, and the flood of 2013 knocked it out.
Yeah. In 08 was a terrible flood. And they actually had a lot of artifacts and memorabilia and little displays in the basement. That was the basement where they would, back in the day, it was the original basement, even though it was a replica from the 80s, it was the original basement where they had potatoes closed off, and it was more or less a passive museum for the past couple years where people would drive by, but you couldn't really go in there at all.
You could look in, right?
You could look in and you could see the creepy mannequins that were standing in front, you know, these, and it was, if you saw the movie, you saw the operation of how the McDonald's speedy system, you have guys working the fries and guys working the grills, and so there was, a couple of mannequins in there that you could look into.
And so what is the status now? Thursday, they took down the, talk about the sign, that was the original.
That was the original sign, 1955, and in one of my stories recently, we interviewed two of the family members of the two guys that were connected to this Libertyville sign company that Kroc hired to make the sign. So it was the original neon sign, and I interviewed the nephew, and he worked on the sign as an apprentice in the 70s and said the sign still works, you know, it still is serviceable. So they removed that. McDonald's hired a different sign company to remove it, and they say they're going to preserve it somewhere offsite.
Yeah, where's this stuff going to go? I mean, I've heard about the Volo car museum, but what's the status?
Volo made an offer to, hey, could we take the sign? Could we take the museum? You know, pick it up, move it about 30 miles northwest to all this other repository of nostalgia they have up there. And they, you know, McDonald's basically, and they said it to the Des Plaines History Center. They said it to the city of Des Plaines. They said it to Volo. It's our branding. We don't want to give that away. So McDonald's is, they say they're going to preserve that sign. We don't know where they're going to put it.
What do you know? I mean, not to get real geeky about it, but the craftsmanship and the detail. And tell the listeners who don't know what that Speedy character is.
Yeah. That was, and actually, in talking to the two relatives of the two guys that were from Laco Signs, I said, you know, what was it about this Speedy sign? That was their original mascot. And in the neon, it looked like it was an animated guy moving.
Yeah.
Running to fill your order at the very top of the sign, and there's the little 15-cent, trying to paint a picture on radio, I know. Yeah. But this character that they kind of, I don't know if it was Kroc's idea or the sign guys, but it was from 1955 where they said, this is going to be our company logo. And so he topped the sign, and then there's kind of this elongated golden arch that runs down, and you had the main red part in the middle that said McDonald's, and you know, we've served. I think when they made it a museum, they changed it back to we've served 1 million, because at one point it said like 15, but then the rumor for years was, well, they put the one back because it was quote unquote Kroc's number one restaurant. So in 85 it said, you know, we've served 1 million, which you see the real McDonald's across the street that opened in 85, and that one says like 99 billion served.
Now, that's why I wanted to set it up with you as a journalist. So what's it like for you as a journalist to sink your teeth into a story like this, and you're so comprehensive about it? And what is it that resonated with you? I mean, do you approach all stories with this zest and this detail, or was there something about this story that really spoke to you?
I can say that as a general assignment daily newspaper reporter, there are stories that you really are jazzed about and others that, you know, you care less about, but you know that you have to write them and you know that you owe it to the public to write it. But I've always kind of liked that kind of just slice of life, average kind of stuff. And, some stories like, every time I'd be going to a city council meeting in Des Plaines, I would pass by this thing You think McDonald's is just so synonymous with fast food and it's gone global. And it all started
right there,
you know, or Kroc will have you believe it started. But his franchise idea started right there. And it's just kind of cool local history. So it was something that I've always liked writing those kind of stories.
Well, you met me at the you like Americana because you met me at the supper club. Right. What was that? There was some was that up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, at the Hobnob.
At the Hobnob. Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, we were signing the books and stuff.
Yeah, the maybe having gone to school in Wisconsin at Marquette, I developed this affinity for supper clubs. So Hobnobs, I don't know. Which one is your favorite? You wrote a whole book about it.
Well, I do send people to Hobnob because it's so close to Chicago. Right. And it may be one or two that are right on Lake Michigan. I mean, not many are right on Lake Michigan. No. Hobnob is up there. And they've got great neon. They got that great neon sign and stuff.
Right.
So what's going to happen? I mean, it's kind of swampy. It's a flood. I mean, could they do a park there? What do you see happening? At least a park, people could bring their burgers to the park.
Right. Well, you still have the operating McDonald's across the street, and you know, the weather was kind of cold the other day, but I could see a little picnic area out there. And just talking to one of the Des Plaines city officials, you know, they could do something like a plaque. But it obviously couldn't have too much McDonald's branding because that's not what the company wants. I've heard different suggestions like, well, why don't they move the sign, the original historic sign, across the street to the operating McDonald's? I mean, that would be kind of cool. I kind of think like now they're going to be coming into the old Oprah Harpo Studios, and maybe they'll have some kind of little history area over there. And maybe our next guest could talk a little bit more about that because he's been in touch with some of the people in the McDonald's archive department.
Okay,
but it could be. It could be. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. We don't know.
Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more on McDonald's. Cheeseburger in paradise. Heaven on earth with an onion slice. Not too particular, not too precise. I'm just a cheeseburger in paradise. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN in Chicago. We're talking about the demolition of the McDonald's Museum in Des Plaines. McDonald's number one, 400 Lee Street. That's right. And we're here with Chris Placek of the Daily Herald. And on the phone is former McDonald's spokesman Chuck Ebling. Chuck, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
Thanks for joining us on a Saturday night. And Chris is on the phone. Chris is here in the studio talking to you. So, I want to ask both of you guys, why has this resonated so much? What is McDonald's role in Americana? Why do people respond to this story to the high degree that they are?
Well, this is Chuck. I think that this early McDonald's in Des Plaines has become sort of an icon of America's roadside culture as it was back in 1955, when Ray Kroc opened it as his first McDonald's. It was the era of the gas stations with attendants, of drive-in movies, of Burma shaved road signs, and Howard Johnson restaurants, and fast food was coming on the scene post World War II, and McDonald's was an early icon of that, and that restaurant was an icon of that, although I think it's on the way down as we speak.
Chuck, when did you join McDonald's?
I was involved with McDonald's public relations from the mid-70s until the millennium, and towards the end of my career, I had McDonald's museums and what we called the Golden Archives, reporting to me along with other communications things.
Now, the Golden Archive, what's that? The Golden Archives?
That's the historical archives of the company. That's all of the historic records of McDonald's since the beginnings under the McDonald brothers.
Now, let me ask you this. I didn't have this on my list of questions, but what if they wanted to do a full-tilt museum anywhere? I mean, how many archives do they have? If they really want to do a full-blown, like, really cool museum, would that be possible with all the stuff they have?
Oh, sure, easily. At one point, we had a Ray Kroc Museum at McDonald's original headquarters in Oak Brook. Then when they built the new Oak Brook campus building, that museum went away, and some of the exhibits became part of the Hamburger University facility, including Ray Kroc's original office and a lot of other archives from that exhibits from that period. So there certainly is the potential to have something. I understand from the head of the McDonald's archives currently, that they are planning a room, a space in the new McDonald's headquarters in West Chicago that would be devoted to our archives and historical information about the business.
Chris, do you know about that? You were talking about that during the break.
Right. Well, that's what I was wondering about. You know, Chuck's, I think, Chuck, you said that you've been in contact with maybe some folks over there, and that was their indication, though officially McDonald's hasn't said what they're going to do, but that could be a good idea.
You know, I, go ahead.
Right, they haven't said anything themselves. That's just conversation I've had with someone over there.
You know, I know a guy who could help you guys out and get this off the ground, and our president, he's a big... According to this new book, he's a big McDonald's fan. But one point he makes, and this has been part of their DNA for the whole time, he likes his cleanliness in McDonald's. I mean, has that always been a drawing point? Is just you know what you get there, and it's always going to be clean and a well-oiled machine.
Well, Ray Kroc had an adage that McDonald's was based on quality, service, cleanliness, and value. And cleanliness was one of those four signposts for the business, and I think the company's always been known for that. As far as the orange-haired guy, I think McDonald's can do it on their own with their own orange-haired clown.
Excellent. Very. So you don't work at McDonald's anymore, Chuck. That's great.
Yeah, I'm happily retired. Thank you.
Yeah. So, when was the last time you saw the facility there in Des Plaines, Chuck?
I haven't been over there for several years. I did plan the rededication of the site 30 years after its original opening, and that rededication was April 15th, 1985. And at that time, Mike Quinlan, the president of the company, officiated, and we had a lot of folks, including people who had worked at the restaurant as crew people back in the 50s, and a lot of local customers from Des Plaines and other McDonald's fans there. And
oh, that's great.
And a lot full of 1955 cars, and to me, it's hard to believe that that's gone, but of course, some of the artifacts from there, including the old style Speedy Chef Speedy road sign, and artifacts from that restaurant could certainly be used elsewhere.
Yeah, Chris, how do the locals, how do the people in Des Plaines feel about it? I mean, is there a sense of pride toward it, or you know?
Well, when I was out there Thursday morning, and they're in the middle of taking the sign down, and I see this couple there walking up, taking pictures. Arnie and Ellie Seegers and their daughter visiting from Colorado, who was old enough for only the museum, but her parents were old enough to remember the original restaurant, and they were telling me the story of, you know, when they had their firstborn that evening, they went for lunch that afternoon at McDonald's. So, you know, just feelings of nostalgia and people coming by to take photos and, you know, really a sense of pride. I mean, it's what put Des Plaines on the map, kind of. I mean, there's a lot of other things that Des Plaines is known for historically. The Choo Choo restaurant is like a block away, and now there's efforts in the city to try to go in and revive the Des Plaines Theater, and you know there's talk of maybe Ron Onesti coming in there some shows, but you know that McDonald's, I mean, they have signs at the entrance to Des Plaines, home of the first McDonald's, so it's a point of pride for the locals.
So, both you guys, what do you see happening? If you give me a little timetable, the sign went down Thursday, so kind of what you know, what's gonna happen next? What are the next steps?
Well, I think that...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that right now, you know, maybe they'll work to restore the sign a little bit. There was some paint chipping off of it, and they'll put it in storage, and I'm just guessing that they might put it at their new headquarters. I don't know. Maybe they'll put it somewhere, I would think. But as for that replica museum, they've stripped it from the golden arches and the sign, and they've removed everything from the inside. So I would imagine demolition would be in the coming days of
in the
of
coming
that.
Days. Chuck, you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I think Chris is right. I think the road sign would make an incredible display in the entrance of McDonald's new headquarters building being built at the site of Oprah Winfrey's old offices, west of the Loop, or in some place like the Museum of Science and Industry or the Chicago History Museum, both of which capture Chicago icons of the past, or even the Smithsonian Institution, which has a cultural exhibit area in Washington, D.C.
Those are great ideas. Don't they have CTA train cars there, I think? One time I went to the Smithsonian, I walked through a 1960 CTA train car. So,
well, at the Chicago History Museum, just north of the Loop, they have train cars and a lot of other the commercial icons of Chicago's early history, along with the history of the city itself. There is an antique McDonald's sign from the late 50s that's part of the Ford Museum out in Dearborn, Michigan.
Oh, yeah, right.
That we dedicated with Dick McDonald himself back in the late 80s, and it is in the entrance to the museum. It's a very impressive, pink and white neon sign above a recreation of the first Holiday Inn room in a 1957 Chevy, believe it or not, at the Ford Museum. But this was Ray Kroc's first McDonald's in Des Plaines, where he showed hundreds of future franchisees what they could do as entrepreneurs, and where thousands of Hamburger University students from around the world visited to get a little ketchup in their veins, as we used to say at McDonald's.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for joining. This worked out very nice. So thank you, Chuck Ebelin, a happily retired McDonald's spokesman. You're up there in Lake Geneva, aren't you?
I sure am. It's frozen but beautiful up here. So thanks, Dave. Been fun being on the show and talking to you, Chris, as well.
And Chris, you're the best. Keep it up.
Thanks,
30
Dave.
Years old, right?
Yeah.
All right. Keep up the good work at the Daily Herald. We're going to be back after David Jennings in the news on WGN.